Red Dwarf Series 6, Episode 3, Gunman of the Apocalypse. In this exciting episode, our friends still haven't caught up to Red Dwarf. After a while in this episode, a big ugly virus infects the Navicomp. What will the virus do to the Navicomp? Is it possible to remove the virus? Is Red Dwarf going to come back? Come aboard and find out. Dark Side. Black and white. The city, unknown. The time, midnight. A bell tolls mournfully in the distance, and waves lap against the side of the docks. A staccato rap of heels sounds through the fog, growing steadily louder until a woman steps through the mists into the harsh glare of the streetlights. She is carrying two heavy suitcases. She drops these and stands, silently waiting. A black apostrophe 38 Bentley glides to a stop a few meters away, and a detective steps out. As he approaches her, he draws out a packet of cigarettes.
Maybe it's the moonlight, but I've got to admit you're looking pretty good for a corpse.
He lights the cigarette, and the light from the match throws his features into sharp illumination. Dave Lister.
Philip, I can explain everything.
Let me save you the trouble. It was you that planned Pollister's murder, but your twin sister Maxine squipped him off. You decided to take the rap, knowing you had the perfect alibi on me. That's why you came on so strong that night. Play me for the dumb sap I am.
Philip, it wasn't like that, not with you.
Oh yeah.
So what you going to do, turn me in? Watch me do the sit-down dance in the electric chair at Sing Sing?
No, sweet lips, I'm gonna let you kiss me.
Starbuck Ops Room. Lister is wearing artificial reality headset and grinding his hips rhythmically, fumbling at an imaginary bra strap and sticking his tongue down an imaginary throat. Crichton walks into the ops room at this moment.
Sir, I think you should come and take a look at this. Lister continues to fumble at the straps. Sir, it really is quite urgent.
I want you, Loretta. I want you body next to mine. I want you like you were that Tuesday night. Kiss me.
Honestly, you haven't been off this machine in a month.
Dark Side. Black and white. Philip and Loretta are still stood on the dock.
Philip, I don't understand.
It's simple, Loretta. This isn't real. It's an our computer simulation game. I'm supposed to hand you over to the cops and wind up with the goody-goody heroine. I've played it before. It's just that you drive me wild. You're the sexiest computer sprite I've ever seen.
Ah, Philip.
I don't care that you've killed three men.
Five.
Period, whatever, it's not your fault, it's the way you're programmed.
So you take me for what I am, episcopathic, schizophrenic, serial killing femme fatale?
Forgive and forget, that's what I say.
Starbuck Ops Room. In Starbuck, Crichton is accessing the R console to enter the game. The game's name Gumshoe is shown on the console and Crichton is asked to select a character.
Choose your character. Ugh, honestly, I just want to talk to him. Anything, Sammy the Squid, Crackshot with Tommy Gun, engage. It's so frivolous. Crichton enters the game as he snaps down his headset.
Dark Side. Black and white.
M.R. Lister, sir, ? The black Bentley from earlier is still on the dark side. The suspension is rocking backwards and forwards, making a squeaky noise. HMMM, curious.
Crichton knocks on the car's rear window. Lister winds down the window and puts his head out.
Hi, Crichton. What are you doing here?
Sir, I've just got the results of the chemical scan. I've discovered minute amounts of millennium oxide in the local vicinity.
Couldn't be more pleased for you. See you in an hour.
Sir, I believe we've wandered accidentally into a rogue simulant hunting zone. That would explain the devastation on the derelicts where we picked up this very game.
Philip, who is it? Loretta sticks her head out of the car. It's Sammy the Squid.
Or, good evening, miss.
Don't kill me, Sammy. I'll do anything. Kill him. I'll come away with you, Sammy. It'll be just like the old days. I never stopped loving you, Sammy. Kiss me.
You're a trash, aren't you?
I'm programmed to be trash.
I can't resist her, Crichton. Get back in the car. I never fall for women who are any good for me, Crichton. It's either heartbreakers or moral garbage on legs.
Sir, you have to turn off the R console. We have to close down and continue on silent running in order to avoid detection.
10 minutes.
Sir.
5 minutes. I'll keep my head on.
No.
Philip.
I'll be back, sweetlets. Stay bad.
Lister and Crichton clap hands and leave the game. Starbuck Ops Room. They both remove their game helmets.
Crichton, you are a total gooseberry. Next time I play on the R machine, I'm going to give you some money and send you to the pictures.
Starbuck Cockpit. Rimmer and Kat are standing and sat respectively. There is a powering down noise and all the lights dim.
At last, we have silent running. Okay, long-range scanners are down. The only early warning we've got is you. Stay alert.
Okay, bud, I'll keep my nose peeled.
Starbuck midsection. Rimmer enters from the cockpit whilst Lister and Crichton come down from the ops room above via the stairs.
You took your time. Where have you been?
I was in the R machine.
Again?
What did you mean again?
Everyone knows you only use the R machine to have sex.
That is not true.
Yes, true. It's pathetic watching you grind away day after day. It's like a dog that's missing its master's leg. That grindle attachment's supposed to have a lifetime's guarantee. You've worn it out in nearly 3 weeks.
That is an outrageous, scandalous piece of libel. I don't just play the roleplay games. What about the sporting simulations? Like 0G kickboxing and Wimbledon.
You only play Wimbledon cause you're having it off with that jailbait ball girl.
Is another total lie. She's not jailbait, she's 17.
Lister, she's a computer sprite, and surely that's the point. She's just a load of pixels.
Yeah, but what pixels?
Starboard cockpit. Ken and Crichton are sitting at the controls. Lister enters, followed by Rimmer.
What's all the hullabaloo?
We've wandered into Rouge Simulant country.
Biomechanical killers created for a war that never took place. Some of them escaped the dismantling program and now they prowl around deep space searching for a quarry worthy of their metal.
I say we should abandon the pursuit of Red Dwarf and flee from the zone.
Give up the chase? Are you kidding?
Wait, my nose is getting something.
Powering up.
Scanners report a battle-class cruiser on intercept.
It's Rogue Simulants, all right.
Recommend immediate total and unequivocal surrender.
Sir, surrender is the worst thing we could do. They despise humans and all forms of humanoid life. They believe you to be the vermin of the universe, sir.
I didn't know they'd met him.
Getting a message. Punching it up.
A face appears on Crichton's screen. It's a Simulant captain.
State your species and purpose.
One of us will have to speak to them. Who's the least human looking? Listy, the mic's all yours.
Wait a minute. I've got an idea. Stall them with static. Crichton midsection.
Cat, you too.
The three move through to the midsection.
Why do you delay? State your species and purpose. You have 1 minute.
Lister, what the hell are you doing?
Wait a minute, nearly ready, okay. Stand by to transmit.
Simulant ship. Dark. The cockpit of the Simulant ship. Two Simulants, the captain and the lieutenant, are at their controls. Incoming. The monitor comes to life. What appears to be a strange alien life form comes on screen. It is, in fact, the bottom half of Lister's face, shot upside down below the nose. Taped to his chin is one of Crichton's eyeballs.
I am Tarkadal, an ambassador of the Great Vindaluvian Empire. Scanners report a human life on your vessel. Is this so?
Humans?
The Vindaluvian people despise all humans. They are the vermin of the universe. Is that not right, Bindi Beji?
The screen pans to Cat, who is in the same disguise.
You bet we hate them. Scum, 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 scum.
The Vindaluvian Empire is pledged to exterminate them all.
Midsection. Rimmer walks through from the cockpit just as the Simulant captain beams aboard Starbuck. Lister and Cat, bent backwards over the scanner table, are not in any position to notice him, and neither is Crichton, whose eyes they are using.
We will not rest until our task is completed.
There, Lister.
Lister and Cat sit up from the scanning table.
Hi.
How's it going, bud? Question mark.
Lister and Cat hand the eyeballs back to Crichton, who screws them in.
A human, a humanoid, a hologrammatical human and a mechanoid who is a slave to humans. I had hoped for so much more.
I've no idea who you are, but boarding this vessel is an act of war. Ergo, we surrender. And as prisoners of war, I invoke the All Nations Agreement Article Number 39436175880932/B.
39436175880932/B. All nations attending the conference are only allocated one parking space. Is that entirely relevant, sir? I mean, here we are in mortal danger, and you're worried about the Chinese delegates bringing two cars.
Can't you let just one go? I was talking about the right of POW-S to nonviolent constraint.
But that's 75880932/C, sir.
It's embarrassing as much as anything else. Here you are totally humiliating me in front of this xenophobic, genocidal maniac, no offense.
Primitive. You will be no sport at all. I have no alternative.
The Simulant captain shoots Rimmer, Crichton, Lister and Cat before they can move. They all slump to the ground. Starbuck cockpit. The crew awaken in the Starbuck's cockpit, sat at their controls.
How long have we been out?
According to the Navicomp, 3 weeks.
Strange, the drive interface has been upgraded, and so have the engines.
And if this readout is correct, we've been armed. Laser cannons.
They've totally upgraded the whole ship.
They've even got rid of the squeak on the seat tilt control.
The Simulant captain's face appears on the monitor.
We have made some improvements to your craft. Now at least you may prove to be of some small amusement.
You have 2 Earth minutes before we attack.
Let's get out of here.
Wait, I know this game. It's called Cat and Mouse, and there's only one way to win. Don't be the mouse.
What are you saying?
I'm saying the mouse never wins. Not unless you believe those lying cartoons. We don't run, we strike. It's the last thing they'll be expecting.
No, the last thing they'll be expecting is for us to turn into ice skating mongooses and to dance the Bowero. And your plan makes about as much sense.
I say go with it.
Agreed.
You're going to go with one of my plans? Are you nuts? What happens if we all get killed? I'll never hear the last of it.
Starbuck pivots in flight and fires its new laser cannons into the side of the Simulon ship. Simulon ship. The Simulons look worried.
What are they doing? Power up the weapons.
Starbuck cockpit.
Nailed them.
Simulon ship. Fluke hit.
Take them with us.
Can't return fire.
Hack into the navigation computer. Transmit the Armageddon virus.
Starbuck cockpit. The Navicomp starts to spark.
What is it, question mark?
The Navicomp, something's wrong.
See you in Silicon Hell.
The Simulon ship explodes.
Shut down all network links. The Navicomp has been infected with the virus.
The Navicomp has frozen us out. We're locked on this course. If we carry on ahead at this speed, how long before we hit trouble?
Well, if you define trouble as a rather large moon directly in our path, about 38 minutes.
Sir, the only solution is for me to contract the virus myself, analyze its structure and attempt to create a software antidote before it wipes out my core program. Do I have your permission to sacrifice myself, sirs?
Do lemmings like cliffs?
Granted.
I am going to have to create a Dove program.
Dove program?
A Dove program spreads peace through the system, obliterating the viral cells as it goes.
Crichton puts on head sensors and contracts the virus from the Navicomp.
The virus is extremely complex. I will have to dedicate all my runtime to its solution, shutting down all non-essential systems.
Is there anything we can do? Can we help?
Watch my dreams.
Ops room, Crichton lies on a meaty bed whilst the others are gathered around him.
23 minutes to impact. Any change?
Getting worse. Weaker and weaker.
Look, sooner or later we are going to have to face the fact that we are not all going to get out of this in one piece. Or if we are, it's going to one big flat piece.
And?
It's time we decided who's going to take the one man escape pod.
How?
Well, if you just bear with me, I think I've devised a fair and equitable system of choosing who should survive. It's based on age, rank, seniority, usefulness, and to cut a long story short, it's me. I was as stunned as you are, which is why I demanded a recount. Well, blow me if it didn't come up as me again. Keys.
Rimmer, the escape pod is not an option.
Why not?
It escaped last Thursday. I was having a few beers, I couldn't be bothered moving, so I used the release mechanism as a bottle opener. Whoosh.
That's it then, we're finished.
Wait, we're getting something.
Streets of Laredo. Day. The monitor clears and Crichton is shown, dressed as a sheriff in a 1800s western town. He is drunk. He throws an empty whiskey bottle away before pausing before a wanted poster of the Apocalypse Boys and entering a saloon.
What is this?
I think we've tapped directly into whatever passes for Crichton's subconscious.
Why is he a sheriff in some old western?
Must be how his core program is coping with the battle against the virus. For whatever reason, it's converted the struggle into some kind of dream.
Saloon. Day. Busy. A piano player plays a honky-tonk version of Red Dwarf theme. Crichton enters and tries to steer his way towards the bar. He passes Jimmy a smooth oaf, playing cards with some unruly cowpicks.
Well, 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 sheriff. Fancy seeing a man of your sober disposition in a low-down drinking establishment.
Now, boys, I don't want any trouble. Just doing my rounds.
As Crichton steps toward the bar, Jimmy trips him up.
You shouldn't ought to have done that, Jimmy.
There is a scrape of stools and tables and Jimmy stands, hands on guns.
Why don't you try it, Sheriff? They say you used to be faster than a toilet stop in Rattler Snake Country.
Sorry I tripped over your boot there, Mr. Jimmy, sir. Air aim. Didn't mean any harm by it.
Crichton turns to the bar.
Give me two fingers of your best sipping liquor, Miss Lola, and make it the smooth stuff. The stuff where you get your eyesight back after 2 days. Guaranteed.
The Apocalypse Boys is here. They's asking for you, Sheriff.
I'll be right out.
Crichton takes numerous gulps of whiskey before leaving the saloon to face the Apocalypse Boys on the porch. Streets of Laredo. Day. The four horsemen of the Apocalypse sit menacingly on horseback outside the saloon. The batwing doors part and a nervous Crichton emerges waking from a bottle of hooch.
I don't believe I've had the pleasures, sirs.
Death spits out some chewing tobacco, which fizzles on the street like acid.
The name's Death, and these here my brothers. Brother War.
War laughs and flames shoot out of his mouth.
Brother Famine.
Fat Famine nods and takes a bite of chicken.
And Brother Pestilence.
Pestilence grins, showing horrible broken teeth. He swiped sidely at the swarm of buzzing flies around his head.
Well, you seem like a nice neighborly bunch of boys. How can I be of service?
All four Apocalypse boys draw, shooting Crichton's head off and his bottle from his hand as he dances around trying to avoid the hail of bullets. Finally, the gunfire stops.
We want your sorry ass out of here. You got 1 hour.
Death spits a sizzler again, and the four horsemen turn and gallop under a dangling sign, apostrophe you are now leaving existence, and as the horsemen ride under it, they disappear. Crichton takes off his sheriff's star and throws it on the ground. Ops room.
He's losing the battle. Look at his life signs, they're barely registering.
Isn't there some way we can get in there and help him? Somehow turn ourselves into tiny electronic people and get into his dream? Isn't there some sort of gizmo lying around someplace that can do that? And if not, and why not?
Look, I think we've all got something we can bring to this discussion. But I think from now on the thing you should bring is silence.
No, 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 I think he's got something.
Twice in one lifetime. When you're hot, you're hot.
If we link up the artificial reality console to Crichton's mind, we should be able to project directly into his dream state like it was a normal computer game.
What did I tell you? We don't even have to leave the room.
What about me?
We'll shut all extraneous systems and power up your hard light drive. Come on guys, let's get these wagons rolling.
Lister, Kev and Rimmer are gathered around the R console making selections on the screen.
There we go, I've loaded in some characters from an R Western game. Choose a player from 1 to 3.
2. The image and stats of the Reveria Kid are shown on the console.
Here you go, you're the Reveria Kid, special skills Ace Gunslinger. Rimsy.
No!
The image and stats of Dan are shown on the screen.
1. Dangerous Dan MCGREW, SPECIAL skills, bare fist fighting. Which leaves me with Brett Riverboat, Knife Man.
And we definitely can't get hurt.
No, it's just like a normal computer game, you can get out at any time. There's a button on the inside of the glove, when you want to get out, just clap. Okay, Reveria, okay Dangerous. Let's mossy on into town.
Flipping down the R visors, they assume horse riding positions and start to gallop. Streets of Laredo. Day. Through a swirling mist, Lister, Kev and Rimmer gallop into town. They dismount before the saloon and, tying their horses to the hitching post, enter through the batwing doors. Saloon. Day.
I've seen westerns, I know how to speak cowboy.
The three step up to the bar.
Dry white wine and Perrier, please. And what about you two chaps?
Rimmer, what westerns have you seen? Butch Accountant and the Yuppie Kid.
Leave this to me, this sounds like one for the Reveria Kid!
As Kat speaks his character's name, he throws back his hands and dances a little Mexican dance accompanied by a Spanish guitar.
Senorita, tequila por favor.
What?
He means three shots of gulping whiskey, ma'am.
Kat and Lister down their shots in one. Shocked expressions, hoarse voices.
Very smooth.
I was expecting something with a little more kick to it.
His, I don't suppose you've got any ginger ale mixers.
Lois pits into Rimmer's face.
I'll take that as a no then, I'll have it neat.
Rimmer downs the whiskey, gulping. The smile freezes on his face. He grabs the hat being used as the pot in a card game and is sick into it. Music and talk stop. The owner of the hat stands and looms, making Rimmer look shorter than a Clint Eastwood speech. Chairs scrape back from tables. Bear Strangler McGee, a man beams up in the hat of Bear Strangler McGee, he's either mighty brave or mighty stupid. Which are you, boy?
Sorry, what were the choices again?
Lister hands some money to McGee.
You'll have to forgive our friend, he's a supple of gum and short of a pos. Bear Strangler McGee, that pays for the hat. What about the insult?
Okay, you're a fat bearded jit with breath that could knock out a grizzly.
Take the lot, man. Rimmer, what is wrong with you?
Relax. You said yourself, Lister, no one can hurt us. Besides, you're forgetting, I'm Dangerous Dan Grew, bare fist fighter extraordinaire.
Crichton enters the saloon carrying a small wooden box.
Here, Lola, all my valuables are in this here box. You can have it all for one bottle of Mind Rotter.
You're trading in your shooting irons?
The box contains guns and some carrots.
No use to me. I've got the shakes so bad, I'm like a couple of porcupines on their webbing night.
Carrots?
I'm throwing in my mule, Dignity.
MR Sat Jib or what?
Lister leans over to Crichton.
Crichton, it's a man.
Sorry friend, I don't believe I've had the pleasure.
Crichton, don't you know who we are, why you're here? You're fighting an electronic virus, you're trying to create a dove program. Some sort of software antidote to wipe it out.
I'll drink to that.
Listen to him, Poochhead, the virus is winning, you've got to get your head together and start fighting it.
There is a sudden crack as Jimmy gets the bottle off Crichton using a bow whip. He then dangles the drink temptingly in front of Crichton.
Want a drink, Sheriff? Why don't you come and take one?
Now, Jimmy, there's no need to be going to make me look foolish.
Come on, Sheriff, jump. You can get higher than that.
Lister steps forward.
Leave him alone.
Just having a little fun, Mr. Swankipants.
The name's Brett Riverboat, Knifeman. Let's see how good you are.
Lister demonstrates some brilliant knife work by disarming Jimmy and pinning him to the wall.
Son of a...
Lister finishes up by throwing an apple into Jimmy's mouth.
Frank, Nuke, line his lungs with lead.
As the two gunmen stand up, the cat steps forward.
Who in the heck are you?
They call me the Kid, the Reveria Kid.
Cue the cat's Reveria Kid dance.
Well, Reveria Kid, let's see if your shooting is as fancy as your dancing.
Frank and Nuke both draw and fire off a shot each. Back to the cat, who casually draws and fires. There are two mid-air flashes halfway between the cat and the gunfighters, and two bullets clatter to the floor.
He shot the damn bullets out of the air.
Well, it's been mighty dandy meeting you boys, but if I'm not out of here by sunup, the buzzards will be fighting the lizards for my gizzards.
Crichton makes a run for the door.
If he leaves town, we're dead. Stop him.
As the three try to follow Crichton from the saloon, they are attacked by some of the patrons. Rimmer puts his bare fist fighting skills into practice by beating up the three men.
Marvelous.
Rimmer dusts himself down and leaves the saloon. Crichton is running for the town's edge.
Hey, buddy.
Hold it. You gonna stay?
This is a job for the Reveria Kid.
Cat does the Reveria Kid dance, draws his gun, and fires. The bullet hits a tin bath and ricochets across the street, where it hits a bell and ricochets again. Wide shot of the street as the bullet zigzags towards Crichton, finally severing the support on one side of the dangling apostrophe existence sign, which swings down and flattens Crichton. The other three gather around the fallen mechanoid.
But boys, you don't understand. I've got to leave. Look, it's 10 to death.
Okay, we've got 10 minutes to sober him up and get him in shape. Come on.
Sheriff's office. Rimmer and Lister are sat with Crichton.
Sir, I just can't eat any more raw coffee.
Two more bowls.
But I am sober, honest.
Okay, who are you and why are you here?
I'm some kind of robot who's fighting this virus, and none of this exists. It's all in a fever, except for you guys, who really do exist. Only you're not really here. You're really on some spaceship in the future. Hell, if that's got to make sense, I don't want to be sober.
The cat enters via some stairs.
I got his guns back, and look at the handles. They've got little doves carved on them, and check this, there's no place for the bullets to go.
This is it, Crichton. The answer's in these guns somehow. Doves, dove program.
The cat wanders over to the window as Crichton looks at the guns.
Wait, something's coming back now. You, sir. Whenever I look at you, I get an image of curry and early morning breath that could cut through bank vaults. You, sir. There's something familiar about you too. I get a name, Smee, Smeehead.
Smeghead?
That's it.
He remembers me.
The guns, Crichton. Do the guns mean anything to you?
Something. They mean something if only I had more time.
PSSSTTT Company.
Streets of Laredo. Day. The Apocalypse Boys walk slowly through the swirling mists and stop at the far end of the street. Crichton steps out of the sheriff's office followed by Lister, Rimmer and Cat. They fan out across the street.
Got yourself a little help there, Sheriff.
Now I remember you. You're a computer virus, traveling from machine to machine, overriding the core program.
Have infection, will travel, that's me. Let's see if we can tip the balance here a little.
Death points his arm to the heavens and a lightning bolt emerges from it. Starbuck Ops Room. The screen of the R console is shown. The special skills that the characters have are being erased. Streets of Laredo. Day.
What is he doing?
He's stalling. He's spotted us for what we are, a bunch of mean macho badass desperados. We're going to kick his bonny butt clean across the town. Enjoy the show. Who's got the guts to go with me one-on-one, hand-to-hand, mano-at-mano?
War steps forwards.
Cover him.
Whilst drawing his guns, Cat fumbles them.
Damn, I've lost my special skills.
Rimmer steps over to a hitching post and tries to lift off the crossbar, and fails. War does the same and succeeds. Rimmer tries again and still fails. Lister also discovers that he has lost his special skills by throwing his knife over his shoulder.
Rimmer, the virus has spread to the R unit. We've lost our special skills.
Ah, Mr. War, sir. It would appear that due to circumstances completely beyond my control, there's been a bit of a cock-up in the Bravado department.
Rimmer is hit over the head with the wooden crossbar by War.
I may indeed have come across as being more brave than in fact I am.
Exit, exit.
Rimmer attempts to exit the game by clapping his hands. He cannot. He turns his constant clapping into a castanet dance before being hit over the head again by War.
We're sealed in.
Get the helmets off.
It won't move.
Cat the back.
I got one of my gloves off and a boot too.
Ah, brilliant. Now you're paralyzed completely down your left hand side.
Starbuck midsection. K Ken is seen trying to wrench Lister's helmet off. Laredo.
Ah, me nose.
I've almost got it.
You're pulling my nose off.
Here it comes.
The helmet's coming off.
Starbuck Ops Room. Lister's helmet comes free. Streets of Laredo. Day. Lister disappears from the game. Ken also fades from the game, leaving only Rimmer to face the boys.
We're gonna cut you up so small the worms aren't even going to infect you.
You can't frighten me, I'm always scared.
Lister.
Rimmer fades from the game just as the boys bear down on him to stab him. Starbuck Ops Room.
What now?
It's down to Crichton.
Streets of Laredo. Day. Crichton is left alone on the street to face the gunman.
Well, Sheriff, now it's just little old you.
I'm not afraid I'm hard dead, sir. I believe my friends have bought me enough time to complete the antidote program. Now, if you'll forgive the rather confrontational imperative, go for your guns, you scum-sucking mollusks.
The gunmen draw and fire. Four shots slam into Crichton's chest. He staggers, then straightens, and draws both his guns. As the guns leave his holsters, they transform into white doves, which soar off into the sky. The gunmen collapse and slowly fade away. Starbuck Ops Room. Crichton comes round in Starbuck.
I did it. I created an antidote.
The four rush into the cockpit. Cockpit.
2 minutes till impact. Come on. How long will it take?
Just a few seconds. How long to impact?
Just a few seconds.
Loading it up, it's going into the Navicomp.
8 seconds. 7.
Nearly there.
5, 4, 3, 2.
We're not going to make it.
Impact.
Starbuck crashes into a sea of lava and disappears. Silence. Only a few bubbles of bursting gas break the surface. Suddenly, Starbuck emerges from the molten lava, its hull in flames. Picking up speed, it climbs into the sky at a dizzying angle. Starbuck cockpit.
Yeah! Exclamation point.
Starbuck flies into the distance and fades from view. The end.